their enthusiasm. It's the way we should go to church. This morning I'm going to be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. And the title of the sermon is Giving Thanks from a Thankful Heart. Giving Thanks from a Thankful Heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 15. Verse 6 reads like this. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for you who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Pray with me, won't you? Father God, Lord, we thank you so much this morning for allowing us to be here. Father, I thank you for each individual that's in this place today. Lord, I pray that you would have your way and that your will would be done in each life represented here. And Lord, I pray that we are here for no reason but to allow your glory to be seen. Lord, that in our worship and our praise of you, that you would be lifted up, as your word says, and that you would draw all peoples unto you. Father, each one of us here today desperately need you in our life. We need more of you. We need to be more like you. We need to be closer to you. Father, we don't completely understand why you made a way where there was no way, why you gave your very best for us. But we know that we know that we know that you did, and that you saved us. And Lord, that you made a way for each and every one of us to be saved for all eternity, to be reunited and to be yours again. Father, I pray that each one of us here today have given our lives and our hearts to you. And Lord, I pray if it be not so for all of us, that through your songs, through the reading of your word, through your messenger this morning, that your spirit would find the tools, Lord, that he needs to work in our hearts and our minds and convince us, Lord, that you died for us. Lord, let us see your love. Let us understand your grace. Let us experience your mercy. And Lord, we just give you the praise and the glory for it all. Have your way here today with us, with each one of us, Lord. May we all leave this place praising and thanking you for your salvation. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. All God's people said, amen and amen. Are you ready for some holiday history? You know, every holiday I like to share a little bit of history, don't I? I know I've said it many times before, but keeping these holiday history updates fresh and hopefully interesting, it gets tougher as we begin to accumulate more history together between us. I know it's hard to believe, but we're now working on our eighth year together. Our eighth year. I guess what they say is true. Time does fly when you're having fun. And it has been fun. And since this is a season for giving thanks, I'd like to stop and say a little something. Deb and I are very thankful. Thankful first and foremost, naturally, for our salvation. that God would somehow call us from a world of sin. But we're also very thankful that He has allowed your life path and our life path to cross. Because other than when my children were very small, because they were wonderful when they were very small, the last 7+ years have been some of the most wonderful ones of my life. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Oh, I still complain from time to time, but it's just amazing to me what God has done in the last 7 years. And I've shared with many of you, if you knew anything about my history, I've shared with you before, when your building was burning down here, I was burning down up in Jefferson County. And it's just amazing to me that from that point in my life, probably one of the darkest points in my life, that God could do all of this. He is a good God. And I'm very thankful to Him. And I thank Him both for you and for all of this, that God has done all of this in our life. Now, back to the difficulty of finding new material to share. Does anyone remember what I shared on Thanksgiving last year? What was that, Betty? So I guess I could share it again, right? Yeah, I wouldn't do that. But I will give us a little reminder of what I shared last year, the history of Thanksgiving. Last year I shared how our celebration of Thanksgiving as a national holiday was owed very much to the persistence of a young woman named Sarah Josephel Hale. I think that was her middle name. I didn't write it down, so I don't know for sure. Don't hold me to that. Who spent much of her life lobbying for Thanksgiving. And also to Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln, who installed what has come to be Thanksgiving Day as we know it today, with a beautiful proclamation on October 3rd, 1863. But this year, I'd like to talk about a earlier effort and another beautifully worded presidential proclamation that wasn't nearly as successful as was Lincoln's. As I read it, I would ask us to reflect. Reflect upon the distance and the direction that our nation has traveled since this proclamation was first read. I don't think there will be any surprises. This gentleman said, "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor, and whereas both houses of Congress," that's surprising in itself that both would agree on something, "have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th of November next, to be devoted by the people of these United States, or these states, to the service of that great and glorious being, who is the beneficent, I even got a little cheat word there and I still pronounced it wrong. I told the kids in Sunday school this morning I would do that. Beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of His providence, which we experienced in their tranquility, union, and plenty, which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and national manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted, for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors which he hath been pleased to confer upon us. And also that we may then unite most humbly, offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people, by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially those who have shown kindness unto us, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best. Given under my hand at the city of New York, the third day of October, in the year of our Lord, 1789. George Washington. Different view on separation of church and state than what we have today, isn't it? We've come a ways, haven't we? As a nation, we have come a ways. And our course seems to have shifted, hasn't it? We seem to have shift directions. Before we start to believe that politicians were honest and mankind wasn't fallen back then, we need to understand it is reported that many of the new nation's citizens did not agree with their president, and they did not participate in their president's day of Thanksgiving. They didn't feel like the hardships of a few pilgrims warranted a holiday. And also, so we understand that politicians have been politicians right from the beginning, it's also reported that a few years later, probably no doubt during a campaign speech, that Thomas Jefferson even joked or made a joke about Washington's idea of a day of thanksgiving to God. So, what changed between Washington's failed attempt and Lincoln's successful one? Because Lincoln's was successful, and we've been doing days of thanksgiving ever since. Did something happen in those short 74 years to teach our country humility? If so, has something happened in the ensuing 151 that caused us to forget it or to lose it? Why humility? Well, if you think about it, don't humility and thankfulness kind of go hand in hand? Thankfulness and humility both require having someone to thank and acknowledge, don't they? Do we often stop to be thankful for the things that we've accomplished on our own? It's hard to pat yourself on the back. We need somebody to thank, don't we? And that requires humility. So why was the idea first rejected and the later one embraced? I believe, and as Keith often tells us on Wednesday, this isn't a Keith opinion, this is a Bob opinion, because I didn't read this in any of the history books. I believe the difference was in the purpose of their hearts. Because if we think about it, thankfulness comes from our heart, doesn't it? Think about this too. Washington's proclamation came shortly after the conflict that had won our independence. And Lincoln's came about in the middle of a conflict that was so terrible, no one was ever really going to be the winner. Lincoln's came right in the middle of the Civil War. Don't you suppose that there was a very different mindset or a heart purpose in our nation during Lincoln's proclamation? As people, we tend to be like that, don't we? Sometimes we have to be in danger of losing something before we understand or we realize how much something's worth to us. We have to lose it. We don't know what you got until it's gone. And it's in that realization or understanding that we most often discover thankfulness for what we have. Sometimes when we get to the end of ourselves or to the bottom of ourselves, if you will, then we really understand what we had, don't we? Something very important is taken from us. And all of a sudden we understand how thankful we truly were to have it. Kind of a side note here. I guess it's kind of a side note. Ever stop and think that since God created us and knows that we're this way, that maybe He'll use circumstances in our life to prepare our hearts for His purpose? He'll bring us to that place where we're at the end of ourselves so that we'll understand what really is important. You know, we can say that we understand and believe that, and we often do as Christians. We talk about it all the time. But if we really did believe it, I wonder if we would still complain so much when those circumstances take place. Maybe it's that we're okay with God working out His purpose through our circumstances, but only when those circumstances make sense to us or when we understand what's going on. Because when we get in circumstances that we don't understand, sometimes it's hard to tell us apart from the world, isn't it? We're all guilty, every one of us. But if we would stop and just realize what we proclaim that we believe, that God works everything according to His purpose in our life. Not just the good stuff. Not just when we're on the mountaintop, but when we're in the valley too. When things are completely out of control. And sometimes, and I won't say you're like me, but I'm hard-headed. And sometimes I have to get to that place where everything's out of control and I can't do anything about it before I finally just stop. Put down my hands. Put my hands together. And I'll say, okay, Lord, I get it. This is in Your hands. You know what? He's never failed. Never failed to take care of me. But you let my apple cart turn upside down and the first thing I say is, woe is me. What am I going to do? But the truth is, He has never failed to take care of me. And oftentimes, just like our country, I have to get to that place where I let go before I let God do anything in my life. And I'll say this too, as I said earlier, alluded to earlier, every one of those times have been a blessing. Some of the darkest times of my life have been some of the most blessed times. Or some of the largest blessings, I should say, have come out of that darkness. Okay. That was a side note. Back on course. Let's look at verses 6 through 7 again. But I say this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each of you give as he proposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Uh-oh. Preacher's going to turn Thanksgiving sermon into one on tithing. Pastor Bob, what does giving have to do with being thankful? As always, thanks for asking. You continue to make preaching so easy. You know, just as thankfulness and humility go hand in hand, because both require having someone to thank or someone to acknowledge, is it possible to possess a thankful heart without being a cheerful giver? Is it? Is it possible to have a thankful heart without being a cheerful giver? Can we really enjoy what we have if we're holding on to it so tightly? If we're holding on to it that tightly, does it really belong to us or do we belong to it? You know, we talked about it this morning in our Sunday school with the kids. You know, we were talking about, they made a statement about having money. And there were statements down the page that we had to disagree with or agree with. And one of them was about the money was the root of all evil. And I explained to the kids that that's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say that money is the root of all evil. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. There's nothing wrong with having money. I could use a lot more of it. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with having stuff, as long as we understand that that's what it is, that it's just stuff. One day it's stuff that's going to belong to somebody else. And unless we're here when the Lord returns, then it's going to be stuff that's just burned up. But it's just stuff. There's not anything wrong with having a bunch of stuff, as long as that bunch of stuff doesn't have you. As long as it belongs to you and you don't belong to it. If you're holding on to something so tightly, you're so concerned about losing it, then it really doesn't belong to you. You belong to it. But if you're willing to let go of that stuff because you know that it's stuff, then you really know what you have to be thankful for, don't you? And it's not stuff. Not stuff at all. So it's not possible to have a thankful heart and not also be a cheerful giver. I'm not going to preach on tithing. I've preached on it a couple of times. I used to always say there's two things you'll never hear me preach on. One is doctrine and one is tithing. But I've changed that. I have preached on tithing before. I was requested to do so, and it actually went very well. The Lord blessed. But I would rather focus on changing our hearts. Because if we change the purpose of our heart, if our heart is right with God, then we don't have to worry about our wallet. We don't. If we have a thankful heart, if we have a purpose of heart that understands what God has done for us, we don't have to worry about our finances. If the main focus in our life is God, everything else will fall into the place where it belongs. It will. It's impossible to have a true thankful heart without being a cheerful giver. It's impossible. In case we might think otherwise, this scripture that we just read isn't talking about changing our wallets. It's not talking about changing our financial situation. It's talking about changing our hearts. Paul says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Hence comes the saying that you cannot outgive God. And you can't. We talked about this someone, I think it was, don't remember who it was, it was last week or two. I'm getting old and I forget things. But they were talking about the cattle of a thousand hills. And, you know, some people ignore the fact that God not only owns those cattle, but he also owns the hills. He owns all of it. You cannot outgive God. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. You see, our heart is what's most important. Our heart is what's most important. It's what God wants. He doesn't want our money. He owns it all. He wants us. He wants our heart. Let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Not so we'll be high and dry or fat and sassy, but so that we'll have what we need, that we might work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. That was 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 9. In order for us to fully receive God's blessings, we have to first have the desire and or the purpose of heart to be a blessing to someone else. I don't think that God calls any of us from a world of sin without a purpose. I think that if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, then God called us for a reason. There's a purpose in us. First and foremost, we're to carry His gospel to a lost and dying world. Somebody had to show you Jesus. Somebody had to show me Jesus. Somebody had to live out this gospel in front of me in order for me to see it. Because I don't know, maybe you were different than me, but I never picked it up. You know, maybe a couple times when I was young, I tried to read the gospels, but it didn't really make sense to me and I really wasn't interested. But somebody lived out this gospel in front of me. And I've shared it all the time in Bible studies and stuff. And I made his life a test. I made him prove to me that Jesus Christ was real to him. Now, I did it several times and not everybody passed the test. But this particular gentleman did. I was hateful to him. And he loved me anyway. He was the vessel that God had chose for me to see the reality of Jesus Christ. Now, I caught glimpses of him in other people, but this particular gentleman, I made his life miserable, and he just loved me. He just loved me. We're called for a purpose, aren't we? Each and every one of us are called to be a vessel. If we know Christ as our Savior, we're called to be that vessel, to carry his gospel. He told us so. He told us so in Matthew. He said, go. Go. The scripture I just read talked about every good work. We are called to do good works. We can't do them by ourselves. The only way we can do them is if the purpose of our heart is to serve Christ. The only way we can do that is if we have a thankful heart. If we know and we understand, and we'll never get there. We're always pressing on to that mark. But if we have a glimpse of what Christ has done for us, we won't have any other alternative but to have a thankful heart. I don't know about you, but I don't deserve grace. I don't deserve mercy. I deserved to spend eternity in hell. Because I was lost as I could be. And God, and I can't tell you why, but somehow he saw fit to call me from that mess. He saved me. In every way possible, he saved me. And he had a purpose for me. And he has a purpose for each one of us. First and foremost, he wants us to carry the gospel. He wants people to see him within us. I would love to tell you that this Baptist minister that I worked with, that I gave such a hard time, I would love to tell you that I stood in his footsteps and that I did the same thing he did to everybody that came along. But sometimes I didn't. Sometimes when they slapped me on one side of the face, I smacked them on the other. I did that sometimes. And sometimes I saw enough of what was going on to understand that God had called me to that moment. And I didn't strike back. And I let his love shine through sometimes. I thank God for those times. I even thank God for the times that I failed him, because it taught me lessons. It taught me how important this gospel is and how important it is to live it out in my life. But we are all called, each and every one of us. We are called to, we cannot be a blessing to anyone else until we fully receive God's blessings. Until we receive them, we cannot be a blessing. When our desire, the purpose of our heart, is given to and developed and molded by a giving and forgiving, merciful God through the power of His Spirit, things do and things will begin to change in our life. In our hearts, and even in the hearts and the lives of those around us. That gentleman surrendered his life. And you know, I'd love to, it wasn't like he was just some easygoing guy. He was a little fiery redheaded guy. And I've seen him put people in dumpsters before. I'd like to tell you he was scared of me because I was so much bigger, but he wasn't bright enough to be scared of anything. But he loved me. And the purpose of his heart was to be the vessel Christ had called him to be. And because he allowed that mercy and that grace of Christ to be prevalent in his life, it changed my life. Now, it wasn't so much what he did, it was more about what he didn't do. He didn't stand up for himself. He surrendered himself to Christ and he became the vessel that I needed him to be, that I could see that Jesus loved me. If we'll surrender ourselves to Christ, if we have the right purpose of heart, if we will give thanks from a thankful heart, we too can be the vessel that will allow someone to see Jesus Christ. If we will just understand that that's all they need to see. I don't have to be good. I just have to be His. I don't have to dress right. I don't have to speak right. I just have to be His. The Bible tells us in John 12:32, Jesus tells us, He said, I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. All that the world needs to see in me is Jesus Christ. That's all they need. It's enough. He's enough. He's all we need to go to heaven. He's all we need to spend an eternity with God the Father in His presence. Jesus is all we need. Jesus is enough. Pastor Bob, are you saying that all I have to do is give or surrender myself completely to God and Christ, and the Holy Spirit will change my heart, my life, and accomplish God, Christ's purpose for me, and draw people unto Himself by that change? Absolutely. Absolutely. Unequivocally, yes. And it's just not my idea either. It's God's idea. Let's look back at the scripture here in Corinthians, verses 10 through 14. It says, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God, while through the proof of this ministry they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ. For your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. If we will surrender ourselves to Christ, if we will put Him in the only place in our life that He will fit. We don't, but there's only one. We try to fit Him in every little nook and cranny of our life whenever we get time, whenever we have opportunity. But the truth is, there's only one place that He fits. Because He is who He said He is. One day, the whole world, ever been, ever going to be, will know it. One day He will split the sky, and won't nobody have to introduce Him. Won't nobody look up at that sky and say, I wonder what that is. Everybody will know. The creation will know the Creator, because He is the Creator. Because we belong to Him, we will know it. We will know it. There's only one place that He fits in my life. That's where that gentleman, that Baptist preacher, had Him. That's why I saw Him. Because He was first in his life. He allowed Him to be the purpose for his life. He surrendered his self. He'd like to have poked me. I know he would have. But he didn't. He didn't. Little guy, but he was strong as an ox. And he would like to have poked me. I bet he would have liked to have fought me just to see if he could beat me. That's how he was. And I'd have hurt him. But he didn't. And I couldn't hurt him. Because when I looked at him, I saw Jesus. I saw somebody who cared more about me than he cared about himself. I can't explain to you why God's Son gave himself in my place. But I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that he did. That he died for me, that I might go free. If I live my life accordingly, other people will see the truth. My life will be a blessing to other people, just as this gentleman's life was a blessing unto me. Who here doesn't want that to happen? None of us here want that to happen. None of us want anyone to die and to go to hell. You know how hard it is to get people to see Jesus? It's the easiest thing we could never do. The only way we can allow, the only way Christ can be seen in my life, I can't manufacture him. I can't. I have to allow him to be Lord of my life. And when he's Lord of my life, somebody else is going to see him. If he's Lord of your life, his will for your life will be understood and realized. And church, there's nothing else that we want but that. It's as simple as letting people see Jesus. It's as difficult as letting people see Jesus. Because in order for them to see him, he has to be the Lord of my life. He has to be in that only place where he belongs. The only place where he'll fit. If we will immerse ourselves in God, his glory will be revealed in and through us. And his glory is all they need to see. All they need to see is Jesus. He's the only one that can make a difference. He's the only hope that exists for this planet. There is no other hope. No other hope. Last year's message, I made a statement, and I'll repeat it this year. Of all the holidays that we celebrate, and I think this is biblical. I won't just say it's just my opinion. I think it's biblical. I think Thanksgiving is the one that's most biblically correct of all of the holidays that we celebrate. Every holiday that we celebrate, other than Veterans and Memorial Day, has its roots in paganism. Every one of them. Even Easter. Even Christmas. Every one of them have their roots in paganism. Thanksgiving is the one that's most biblically correct. We, more than anyone else on this planet, those of us that know Christ as our Savior, have something to be thankful for. Something that should be shared. We should just pick more than one day a year to do it. If we, you and me, Christians, if we have the right purpose of heart, which is a surrendered heart, we have cause. We have cause to celebrate Thanksgiving more than anyone else. Let's look at verse 15 and I'll close. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. There's only one way of truly giving thanks from a thankful heart. I've met a lot of people, and I know you have too. I worked with a lot of people when I worked in manufacturing. There was one gentleman in particular. He was a much better person than what I am. And I'm not trying to have some false humility. He really was. He's a great person. Do anything for anybody, and as lost as what he can be. If something doesn't change before he breathes his last breath, he'll spend an eternity in hell. And he's a good person. There's only one way of truly giving thanks from a thankful heart. And that is to experience this indescribable gift that Paul speaks of here in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. That's the only way to truly experience Thanksgiving. The only way to truly have a thankful heart is by having Christ in our heart. Paul said in Philippians 4:11-13, "Not that I speak in regard of need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I've been praying the scripture a lot recently. I want to be that vessel. And believe me, I don't have any misunderstanding. I know what that requires. I do. I know from a physical standpoint, that's not a comfortable place to be. But I want to be that vessel, that no matter what my circumstances are, I want to have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I want to be able to do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. It's my prayer that that is your prayer as well. And as your pastor, I would tell you, not necessarily warn you, but inform you that from a physical standpoint, that is not going to be comfortable. It's not. Paul didn't say all things were going to be good. He said he could do all things. It wasn't good, was it? Paul died in prison. From a physical standpoint, it wasn't good. But that wasn't what Paul was talking about, was it? He wasn't talking about a physical standpoint. He was talking about giving thanks from a thankful heart. A heart and a life that had been changed by Jesus Christ. It's the only way we can truly have a thankful heart, as if we have experienced the grace of Jesus Christ. The grace that we don't deserve, that we can never earn. And please, let's not do good things thinking we're going to get into God's favor. God already loves you so much that He gave His Son in your place. Bible says, while you were yet sinners. I think for most of us, that's today. We all have sin in our life. We're not perfect creatures. He didn't give His self because we were perfect creatures. God gave His self because He so loved the world. The only way to have a true thankful heart is to have one that's occupied by Jesus Christ. We're going to have a song of invitation. If the Holy Spirit has spoke to your heart this morning, then that's exactly what this song is. It's an invitation to come. And we'll meet at this altar. But more important than me meeting you at this altar, Jesus will meet you at this altar. His Holy Spirit will meet you at this altar. And that's what each and every one of us need. We need more of Christ. Would you all stand, please?